This show furnished by Key Light Counseling Center.
Are you looking for an alternative to drug and alcohol rehabilitation that allows you to recover in the privacy of your own home with an individualized program that meets your specific needs? Concierge Detox LA can be that alternative. Headed by medical addiction specialist Dr. Damon Raskin and clinical psychologist Dr. Howard Gloss, Concierge Detox LA will design an individualized program to meet your recovery needs. For more information, contact Concierge Detox LA at 323-935-9712.
You'll be receiving valuable advice from our host. Please remember, this is not therapy. It does not replace a relationship with a qualified mental health professional.
I'm Dr. G, and we're here with Engaging Minds. We're here every week to look at issues that we face as a society from a deeper and psychological point of view. And one issue that's been on my mind a lot and on the mind of everyone is teens and gun violence. And I want to just jump into this because I got an amazing panel that I've been lucky enough to be able to assemble who are going to address this issue. And they are Dr. Mary Lamia, Dr. Elaine Fogel-Schneider, Dr. Mark Goulston, and Liz Kahn. I'm going to let them each introduce themselves because they have these fantastic backgrounds, and we're going to just dive right into it. So I'm actually going to start with Dr. Mary Lamia. Dr. Lamia, are you there? Hi, Mary.
Hi, Howard.
Well, it's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
So I wanted to find out, what's your passion around teen and gun violence and why you feel this is something you really needed to talk about tonight?
Well, actually, I'm passionate about protecting children from any kind of violence. So when people are unable to manage their emotions, especially shame, it poses a danger to them or to others. And we don't do much to start young, to help children understand their emotions and learn about ways they can respond to them. So I'm all about teaching kids and adults about emotions, and that's been my life's work.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background just so we can share it with our audience.
Sure. I'm a clinical psychologist and a psychoanalyst. I'm also a professor at a graduate school in Berkeley, and I've written 5 books for children, adolescents, and adults, mostly based on emotions. My last 2 are about what motivates getting things done, procrastination, emotions, and success. And the most recent one is called The Upside of Shame. It's therapeutic interventions using the positive aspects of a negative emotion.
And we're definitely going to talk about that more a little later on in the show. But I want to bring on Dr. Elaine Fogel-Schneider. Elaine, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Why don't you also share why you feel passionate about this subject and a little bit about your own background?
Certainly. Thank you, Howard. I'm very passionate about this subject because I work with children, very young children, actually starting out at preschoolers, and looking at how can they learn to self-regulate their own behaviors. We see many children that have experienced trauma, and it's pretty much a more, it's not as hidden as it used to be, but we have many, many children in schools these days that bring trauma with them into the classrooms, and the teachers have difficult times really helping those children and helping them learn to regulate. So my interest also, I have a book that is an Amazon bestseller called 7 Strategies for Raising Calm, Inspired, and Successful Children. And in that book, there are a variety of strategies that are useful for families to use, whether at home or in the school setting, and even for teachers themselves. And so that's some of my work that I'm doing now. And I'm also I work at Cal State LA locally and also consult with a variety of school districts and other agencies.
That's amazing. And one of the things I want our audience to pay attention to is with our experts, we're also going to get some great advice as to how you can deal with some difficult emotions that teens and adolescents are facing. And Liz, I know we joked before, Liz, our non-therapist on the panel.
A Liz mere Kahn. Civilian.
Yes, a mere. But you have an amazing story to tell and where you work. Why don't you tell us about your story briefly?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me on. So I became an activist with the Brady campaign after an incident of gun violence affected my family personally, very briefly.
Yes, please tell us.
Our next door neighbor of many years, who from all accounts was a law-abiding citizen and happened to be a gun aficionado. He had been trained in the Israeli army, so he knew proper gun safety, and I think he's what the NRA would call a good guy with a gun. And, you know, as can happen to all of us, his health declined and he ended up having a stroke, which led him into a deep depression and paranoia. And so one day he actually chased his caregiver out of his house. She ran over to my house and he shot her on our doorstep 5 times and then committed suicide in front of our house. My mother and brother were actually home and a bullet ended up going through our door, and we were all very lucky in that my family was okay and the caregiver actually survived. But you know, you never would think this would happen on your doorstep, and especially in a relatively nice neighborhood in Los Angeles. And so that
so it happened in Pacific Palisades.
So that got me involved in the Brady campaign and really opened my eyes to what a tragedy gun violence is here in this country, and you know, what we have to do about it.
That's definitely an amazing story. And I know another man with some amazing stories is Dr. Mark Goulston. Mark, I want to welcome you back on the show, and let's hear what you have to say in a little bit about your background.
Well, I'm a psychiatrist, and I specialize in suicide intervention and violence intervention. I trained FBI and police hostage negotiators. But my backstory is that I was kind of shy and a bit of an outsider growing up. And then in med school, I kind of hit a wall, and I think it was untreated depression of some kind. And so I was an outsider, but I was not really bullied or humiliated. I was kind of ignored. But I think if I was bullied or humiliated, I would have gone from outsider to outcast. And I can understand the anger and rage. And so what happened is in med school, when I was at a low point, the dean of students, who cares about students, actually reached in, literally, I mean, or empathically, and he saw a future for me that I didn't see. He saw a value in me that I didn't see. And he went to bat for me because the med school wanted to cut their losses and say, you know, this guy's dropping out for the second time. Let's cut our losses. And so that flipped a switch inside me, and I realized that he reached in and changed everything. And so I've been paying it forward ever since. And I think that, you know, there but for the grace of this special person, I don't know that I would have committed violence. It probably would have been more self-destruction. But I think I have some idea of what's going on inside them. And I've written 7 books. My first book, Get Out of Your Own Way, was actually published in 1996. And it's been on the best in the top 10 self-help books at Amazon for the last 10 years. And I get letters from inmates. And I have a show called The Prison Letters with Dr. Mark Goulston, and I read these letters, and I try and tune into them and kind of humanize them in the same way as the Dean of Students did that for me.
You know, I want to share something. When I told some people that we were doing this show, I got a couple emails, and one of the questions people wanted me to ask the panelists, do you believe that people are born this way? And they were curious about, just like what you said, Mark, there are certain psychological issues that may happen to a person. And I believe what you're saying, because of good attachment and you create some positive relationships, that one was able to sort of see you through. But the question was, why does someone cross over into violent behavior? And that's what I wanted to throw out to our panel, the sense of what's the tipping point? What causes somebody to do what happened in Parkland? And Liz, do you think it's access to guns? It's just that issue? Or is it, through our psychological panel, more of a psychological issue? So I'll let anyone jump in as soon as they're ready.
Well, I have a huge plug for, I think, what's going to be one, okay, one of the top books. And it's not mine. It's coming out in a couple months by a researcher and psychologist named Warren Farrell. and it's called The Boy Crisis. And keep your eyes open for it. It's going to do amazingly well. And what he talks about is dadlessness. And that one of the things that most of the shooters have in common is they didn't have a relationship with their dads. Even if they had one, the dad was distant. And what he also talks about is when you go into adolescence, you have a lot of testosterone. And if you have an involved dad who's coaching you, playing roughhousing with you, showing how to use that testosterone, you can channel it. But if you don't have that, or if you're raised predominantly by a mom, and then and so it's a really compelling story based on a lot of research, and he talks about how he said 70% of a lot of inner city kids don't have dads. They're not involved with them, and so he thinks that 70% of the elementary school teachers should be male.
That's interesting. Mary, do you have any comment on that?
Well, you know, the emotion that's connected with disconnection, the emotion we feel when we are attached to somebody and we disconnect or don't get that nurturing or attention we need, is shame. And shame is like a momentary destruction of the self, and it can just be pervasive. And it is shame that leads to attacking others. You know, defensive responses to unbearable shame are what lead people to violence, self-harm, suicide. In fact, in every single case of a mass shooting, the shooter has been shown to have suffered extreme humiliation. So there's basically four coping.
We're gonna have to take a quick break, Mary, but when we get back, we're gonna talk more about the concept of shame. We're gonna hear from Dr. Fogel Schneider, and we're definitely gonna hear from Liz as to, maybe if we minimize the access to, firearms, we actually would get less violent behavior. I'm Dr. G. If you wanna call in, it's 1-800-222-5222.
So, how do you like being a new dad?
Wow. No, it's,
amazing, right?
Totally, but expensive.
Get used to it. You got life insurance, right?
I've only got so much money.
What'd you pay for that coffee?
I don't know, a couple of bucks?
Listen, I'm 34, and I got $750,000 in life insurance for under a dollar a day. That's way less than you put out for that mocha latte.
Seriously? How?
I went to SelectQuote.com. They shop highly rated insurance companies to find your best rates.
Well, I need to protect my family. If SelectQuote can find me rates like that, that's one less thing to worry about.
Exactly.
Give your family the protection it needs at a price you can afford. To see how affordable life insurance can be for you, go to SelectQuote.com or call 800-994-6633. That's 800-994-6633. 800-994-6633. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issue, and company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
I met someone. You hear it a lot from people on Match, because more people have met their someone on Match than any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection, and Match is not only number one in first, but second dates too. Now here's a free offer for our listeners. Go to match.com/search for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search, view photos, and connect. This free offer is found at match.com/search. That's match.com/search. Match.com/search.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 7373 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 7373.
Are you looking for an alternative to drug and alcohol rehabilitation that allows you to recover in the privacy of your own home with an individualized program that meets your specific needs? Concierge Detox LA can be that alternative. Headed by medical addiction specialist Dr. Damon Raskin and clinical psychologist Dr. Howard Gloss, Concierge Detox LA will design an individualized program to meet your recovery needs. For more information, contact Concierge Detox LA at 323-935-9712.
Welcome back to Engaging Minds with your host, Dr. Howard Gluss, licensed clinical psychologist.
I'm Dr. G, and we're back with Engaging Minds. That number again is 1-800-222-5222. We're talking about guns and teen violence, and before the break, Dr. Lamia was talking about this concept of shame and that our reaction, a lot of times deep-seated anger and rage that shame brings up, can be something that can set us over the tipping point and cause some violent behavior. I also want to hear from our other panel member, Dr. Fogel-Schneider, Dr. Elaine Fogel-Schneider, her thoughts about what that tipping point is all about. So, Elaine?
Yes, I think for what I look at is the neuropsychiatry of human beings and looking at the effect on the brain and the brain system and some of the violent games that I think a lot of our teens these days are playing, which are games that really kind of cloud the reality and non-reality. And it does affect their brain chemistry. And there's research now that proves and shows even the hippocampus areas in the brain for memory, for problem solving are affected through the violent games. And they've shown how you can take a video game and play golf, nice and easy, hitting a ball. Or you can have a video game of robbing, you know, the cars and really killing people. And that those games where they're more violent are games that really do affect the brain chemistry. And I feel that so many of our youngsters are engaged in what they think is reality for them. It becomes reality. It's a game, but it's a real game. And then that veil of what's real and what isn't gets a bit confusing. And I feel that that's one of our issues in today's world is the amount of violence that children, teenagers are exposed to.
Yeah, I think that's a fascinating concept. Actually, I'm going to ask Dr. Goulston a question as a psychiatrist. Given what Elaine said, do you think if someone has a psychotic baseline that would have a lot to do with the tipping point, so to speak, of someone that's not well organized and they can go over the edge if they see those games? That's what Dr. Schneider is saying, that the mix of what is real and what is not. So I'm struggling with it. I'm wondering your thoughts about that, because that's what I wonder about.
Well, I think the more out of touch people are with real reality, the more they're vulnerable to attaching to another reality. Also, I think what happens is, and why some of these killers and suicidal people are just cold and calm right at the point when they're destructive, is I think these people often feel very out of control in their life. And what happens is before they totally lose control, they fixate on something. So if you feel the world's been done you wrong, you're going to fixate on getting even with it. And the intensity of getting even, how many people you shoot, is going to be how much you feel the world's done you wrong, and you fixate on that. And if you feel the world hasn't done you wrong, but the pain is too much, you'll just fixate on suicide as a way to take the pain away. When I speak on suicide around the country, I often talk about how suicidal people don't kill themselves from depression; they kill themselves from despair. And if you break the word despair into despair, it means they feel unpaired with the reasons to live, unpaired with hope, hopeless, worthless, meaningless, pointless, useless. And what happens is when they all line up, as it happened with Robin Williams, you fixate on pairing with death as the way to make the pain go away.
You know, at our break, I want to share with our audience, Liz Kahn from the Brady Campaign had an interesting question that maybe you can pose to our panel of therapists, experts, around this concept of mental illness and gun shooting.
Yeah, I think what I've noticed, and also I've read an op-ed that was in the New York Times, I believe last week, by Amy Barnhorst. And she brought up this idea that many of these shooters involved in these mass shootings might not have actually fallen under a category in the DSM. And so, you know, when we're trying to say that we need to keep guns away from mentally ill people, I think that's actually a really narrow way to look at things, because there are plenty of dangerous people who wouldn't necessarily be considered or qualify as mentally ill. So just maybe your perspective on that.
Let's talk to Dr. Goldston.
Well, one of my thoughts about mental illness is that mental illness makes it more and more difficult to exercise self-restraint. So impulses become irresistible. And so across the board, the more you have a so-called mental illness, the less self-restraint you have on acting on impulses. We all have impulses, but the healthier we are, the more we're able to keep it as an impulse without acting on it. And it would be great if there were a way of assessing people's level of self-restraint. Unfortunately, without getting into politics, sort of the role model is why have self-restraint? Why not just do what you feel like doing? Say whatever you feel like doing and the heck with everyone else. And so the world is not exactly supporting self-restraint. In fact, you're kind of seen as foolish. Why have self-restraint? Nobody else has that. And so I think most people with mental illness, the more severe, the less self-restraint they have when an impulse comes down.
And
unfortunately, many of us therapists are responsible for taking away people's guilt, because 50 years ago, people developed symptoms based on guilt, a conflict between their impulses and their conscience. And now that we've sort of removed people from having guilt, we are such a shame-based society.
Do you think that I'm going to ask Dr. Schneider? You were talking about the games. I was wondering when you were talking about when kids actually, if you have any thoughts about this, or Liz, or anyone really, when kids see these acts of violence at schools, and they see it on television, do you think that has a strong impact on other kids creating the same violent behavior because the media is exposing it?
Well, I think that there are times that if it's something that you see enough times and
right.
you see that as a possibility, then it becomes a possibility for you. So even if you've not had that thought before, now that you're aware of it or see it, then it gets internalized. And so the body is taking all that information in. And then if there's an individual that has difficulty, as you were talking about, self-regulating, then there's nowhere to go but to take it and move it outside of their body and then do what they feel that they can do, and whether it's a reality to them, it doesn't matter. I think there are also not just the mental illness we have to look at, but I think we need to look at some individuals that might have intellectual deficits as well. And so we wouldn't characterize them as mentally ill, but we may characterize them as intellectually disabled. And there are many, many individuals that we know that may have guns in their possession who may not be noticed as someone that should not have them, because how does somebody check a box that they're intellectually deficient?
Exactly. I want to actually ask Liz a question about some of the laws and regulations that are happening around things like this, like mental health checks. But we have a caller, and I want to take her on. And her name is Brenda. She's calling from Manhattan Beach. So I want to welcome her to the show. Brenda, it's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
And it seems like you have a question around single mothers.
Yes. I wanted to go back earlier in the show. One of the doctors mentioned a book that was coming out in regards to young gentlemen and being, a single mother that raised a son. I know looking for male role models sometimes it was not all that easy, but he found those luckily in school and coaching and with a grandfather. And nowadays I think people are more cautious about having their youngsters, especially young boys, hang out with other men or be with men. Any suggestions on where to turn for those role models for the single mothers that are raising sons that may be concerned that maybe they do need that interaction?
Dr. Goldston?
I think mentors can be life-saving. That certainly was the case, my case. And so I think if you can identify people that seem to be safe, that seem to really want what's in the best interest of children, you know, both boys and girls, and even encourage that relationship. I remember one mother went to a coach or a teacher and said, "I just want to thank you, you know, for the interest you have in my child, because you know he just thinks you." You know, what's the thing about the moon? You whatever that expression is.
Over the moon.
Over the moon. Yeah, you know, and I think if you show that acknowledgement to the right teacher, they'll take even more of an interest. But I think that's really important. You know, you don't have to provide the parenting. You have to make sure they get the parent type relationship from caring adults.
You know, one of the things I'm hearing from our panel and from everyone, is how important relationships are. And I want our audience to hear that one of the things Dr. Golston said is if you don't get it directly from a parent, to find that person that an adolescent can attach to in a very positive way, and that can make a world of difference. I was wondering, so this takes me to the idea of laws and what's happening around the laws that are going to help take what we're talking about here around issues of mental illness. Let's start with that and turn it into legislation. So you're the expert on that, Liz.
Sure.
And we're about to go on a break, but go ahead and get started.
Sure. So I think one of the questions you'd asked us before was, why does America experience so many mass shootings? And I think mental illness is definitely a factor in this, but there are mentally ill people in other countries, and other countries do not have nearly the number of mass shootings that we do. So I think we can decisively say easy access to guns is the reason for these mass shootings. I think universal background checks are something that the general population agrees with and supports, including gun owners. In a recent Quinnipiac poll, 97% of gun households actually support universal background checks. So, you know, as constituents, we should be speaking and demanding of our legislators to represent what we're actually looking for.
You know, I find this so interesting because as a person who comes from Canada, where it's very difficult to actually get a gun, that now that I've lived in the United States for a long time, that the psyche of Americans, this idea of protecting, I get it to some extent, the Second Amendment, but it seems like that seems to trump, pardon the pun, almost everything else. So I'm going to ask my panel of Americans about that question, but I think we're going to get ready for a break in a moment. I do want to tell you that if you want to call in, it's 1-800-222-5222. And we're going to talk about what I want to hear is the American psyche, why this is such a big issue here. I was just told we have a minute left, so I'm going to go to Dr. Fogel Schneider. Quickly, give me your opinion about that. What's going on with Americans?
Well, I think it's part of the psyche. It's part of our constitutional right, so to speak. We all have it. Part of the Second Amendment. I think, though, that looking at background checks is something that's quite agreeable to people that have common sense. And I think just because you're a gun owner doesn't mean that you don't have common sense. You can have that. And having a background check is something I think would be very agreeable to anyone. I just think that we have to look at how do you manage a background check, because who is going to check the box where they're going to say
are you mentally intellectually ill?
Right. We have to have a way of
We're ready for that break, but we have to have a way to do that actually that is sane and that will cause people to be honest and transparent. I'm Dr. G. If you want to call in, it's 1-800-222-5222. We're talking about teens and gun violence. We'll be right back after the commercials.
It's time for the spectacular 72nd Annual Fred Hall Show, the nation's ultimate outdoor show. Celebrate the passion of fishing, boating, hunting, and international travel at the Fred Hall Show, March 7th to the 11th at the Long Beach Convention Center. Presented by Progressive. Details at fredhall.com.
Can you remember the last time you had a great night's sleep? How you felt the next morning? More energized. More alive. Feel the difference of deeper sleep daily with the new Tomorrow mattress. Designed by the world's leading sleep experts at Serta Simmons Bedding and delivered right to your door. Visit tomorrowsleep.com and use promo code RADIO for $125 off through this Friday only. Transform your tomorrow.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. We're in hour number three of the 90th Academy Awards, and here are some of the most recent Oscars to be awarded. The award for Best Actor in a Leading Role went to Gary Oldman for The Darkest Hour. Guillermo del Toro has won the Oscar for Best Director for The Shape of Water. The Oscar for Best Original Song has gone to Remember Me from Coco, written by Kristen Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez. They previously won for Let It Go from Frozen. The Oscar for Best Original Score has gone to Alexander Desplat for The Shape of Water. It's his second Oscar, previously winning for The Grand Budapest Hotel. The Best Foreign Language Film went to Chile's A Fantastic Woman, which helped to raise awareness of transgender issues. Best Animated Short was awarded to Dear Basketball, which was written and produced by Kobe Bryant, who says he wants to continue in film. KABC SoCal weather tonight mostly clear with lows in the mid to upper 40s. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Hi, this is Lou Manfredini. This House Smarts Home Improvement Minute is brought to you by my friends at Ace Hardware. During the winter months, a great way to stay warm inside your home is to add a little humidity. This can be accomplished two ways, by either using a whole house humidifier or a portable humidifier. You know, you'll be amazed by adding humidity to the room. You'll actually feel more comfortable, and it will allow you to lower your thermostat, which helps you save on your energy bills. More information at HouseSmartsTV.com. And now this.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Thanks to you, Ace was awarded its 11th straight J.D. Power Award for customer satisfaction with home improvement retail stores. To say thanks, we're giving you 20% off throughout the store. And as always, the help is free. So hurry into your local Ace and save 20% on select items this Friday through Sunday only. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members only at participating stores. Additional conditions and exclusions apply. See store for details. For J.D. Power Award information, visit jdpower.com.
Are you looking for an alternative to drug and alcohol rehabilitation that allows you to recover in the privacy of your own home with an individualized program that meets your specific needs? Concierge Detox LA can be that alternative. Headed by medical addiction specialist Dr. Damon Raskin and clinical psychologist Dr. Howard Gluss, Concierge Detox LA will design an individualized program to meet your recovery needs. For more information, contact Concierge Detox LA at 323-935-9712.
Welcome back to Engaging Minds with your host, Dr. Howard Gluss, licensed clinical psychologist.
Some violence, like white people. No, no, I'll talk to you. I'm Dr. G, and we are back on the air. And before we go on, last week we did a show on living to 100, and we were talking about Mid-Valley Hospice in Sherman Oaks, and sometimes when families have to deal with crises in their life or end-of-life issues, they want to find a hospice center that could support them, especially if they're dealing with the issue of End of Life Option Act. And the hospice that I would recommend would be Mid-Valley Hospice Care. They're out in Sherman Oaks. Their number is 818-386-2600. That's 818-386-2600. They're very sensitive to both cultural and medical needs of people who are seeking this type of option. So again, that's Mid-Valley Hospice Care. And we'll talk, I'll give you that information later on in the show. Or if you missed it, you can always email me at drhowardgluss@live.com. So, before the show, I was asking people about the American psyche. As someone who wasn't born in this country and grew up with very strict gun laws, where, you know, I actually was thinking, I don't know anybody who owned a gun when I grew up. And I grew up in a major city in Canada, in Montreal. I didn't ever see a gun store. I never knew anyone that owned a gun. And, the idea of getting one never even entered anyone's mind, except for possibly hunting. So coming to this country is quite a shock that it's such a big issue. So I was wondering about the American psyche. Maybe my panel, and Mary too, can explain this to me. Like, what's going on that this is such a debate, where you said, like, in other countries, it's not really even a debate?
So actually,
We also have an extremely high suicide rate. I think the suicide rate is higher than the homicide rate in our country. But, you know, I think there's a related factor, too, especially in the last 4 decades, and that is that we have the Kennedy administration mandated mental hospitals be closed, and communities should take on the role of treating severely mentally ill people, and it just has not worked. I mean, you could see them all over the streets, and our jails have become the new mental hospitals. And I was thinking about the young man who shot his parents on a college campus in Michigan last week. He had been taken to a crisis service the day before because he was seriously paranoid, and they didn't hold him. There are no beds to accommodate the needs of mentally ill people who are evaluated by crisis services. So they're often sent home or they're put back on the street, and we just wait for them to commit crimes, usually violent ones, where they're sent to jail.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, you know, Dr. Goulston, you do some work with, you have a podcast around prison letters, so you hear a lot of stories from different prisoners. Do you ever... Can you share us with some insight as far as sort of people's backgrounds and what why they feel they may have ended up there and how their backgrounds may have affected them?
Well, the people writing me, though, they may not be typical of the prison population because they're wanting to get better. You know, they're reaching out. They're taking ownership of.
I committed this crime. And I want to stop doing it, and I keep giving into these self-defeating behaviors. But I think a lot of them, kind of what I mentioned before, I think what they're saying is I just have such poor self-restraint. So I get angry, I make things worse, I make bad decisions, I don't learn from my mistakes, and those kinds of things. And but getting back to the American...
Yeah, the American psyche.
I don't have... necessarily evidence for this other than being an observer, but I think the American, I think a lot of it's mindset. Mindset precedes a lot of things. And so when you try to do some of these regulations, it's like the tail wagging the dog. I think you have to change the mindset of the American psyche. And the American psyche, if you think about it, dating back to the Revolution, we always, if we didn't like something, we just move west. We moved across the Atlantic. We didn't like Boston. It was still colonial. We moved west. And because we were insulated, unlike the rest of the world, we didn't develop a certain kind of humility. We have rather a kind of arrogance. And now that we can be invaded, we're finally joining the rest of the world. And so our borders can be violated. And I hope, again, it doesn't cause us to become more impulsive and retaliatory. But I think that there's developed a sort of an American hubris. And I think that mindset has to change.
And I'm wondering, Dr. Fogel-Schneider, can you have a sense of how we could change that mindset? And if you can give us an answer in about two minutes, then Liz can take it back to her campaign and everything will be fine.
Yeah, I think
that's the ending of a Hollywood movie.
That would be something very nice to be able to solve in that short of a time. But look how the country is so pulled apart at this moment, trying to figure all of this out. We've got students that, you know, that have lived through a nightmare and have seen their friends die. We have others that, you know, that will create post-traumatic stress syndrome. And we haven't talked about that, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome, but people that have witnessed these violent crimes, they'll carry it with them. Their own emotional states change. They become, you know, have different difficulties sleeping. They have different thoughts. They themselves then are carrying this around with them. And, you know, how do they cope with that? And how do they cope with their own changes to their own physical body and emotions? I don't not have an answer. And I think we do need to look for an answer. I do not want to see more children dying. I know that this to me is just, it is a nightmare that children go to school and then they don't come home to their parents. So I know that we need to take a look and see what we can do, that if someone is ill, mentally ill, and has guns, how did they get them? What can we provide that person with care? Because certainly that person needs a lot of care to move them through
the pain
that they're suffering.
This recent, I feel a little inspired by this March for Our Lives done that's being started by the Parkland teens. And a couple of them were on Bill Maher's show yesterday. And one of the things one of them talked about was they felt they were challenging. He looked right into the camera and he said, okay, Mr. President, we're challenging you right now. We are the experts on what's going on because we sat under our desks listening to our classmates die and texting their parents goodbye. So that means we are experts. And when I heard that, chills went through my back and I thought, I don't know, maybe there's hope. Maybe we can shift that psyche, because I think that's the fundamental issue. We can create these laws, but we're always preaching to the choir. How do we cross those lines? I don't really know, but I want to hear right after the commercials of what you guys think, because we're going to try to settle this today. We're going to settle this debate and come with solutions. I'm Dr. G. If you want to call me with any solutions you may have, it's 1-800-222-5222. We'll be back right after the commercials.
Attention shoppers, clean up on aisle 14. Clean up on aisle 14. Someone dropped a jar of pickles. Pickles. Kosher pickles.
Beatboxing at a big box store. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
A red minivan has the lights on in the parking lot.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Geico.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
Had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at your local retailer today.
DirecTV Now presents Don't Be Frustrated with Michael B. Jordan.
Hey, man.
Oh, hi, Mike.
What are you doing?
I'm just banging my head against the wall over and over again.
Why?
Because I've got cable, and it's so frustrating. I have to wait hours for the cable guy. Now I have this big, ugly cable box.
You know you should just get DirecTV Now.
Okay.
It's live TV you can stream on any screen. No cable guy, no cable box.
Really? That's amazing. Now I won't have to bang my head against the wall anymore.
Nope. Now you can watch on your phone, tablet, or TV while you bang your head against something softer, like this pillow. A squeaky toy.
Oh.
This loaf of bread. This bicycle horn.
Fun.
This whoopee cushion. This potato. Who doesn't love mashed potatoes?
Try DirecTV Now for $10 a month for 3 months. No satellite needed.
Use code YESNOW3 at DirecTVNOW.com. Limited time. Compatible device required and sold separately. Price after instant discount on $35 a month package. Renews monthly at full price unless canceled. Prices may change. New subscribers only. Cancel anytime. Restrictions apply. Details at DirecTVNOW.com.
Are you looking for an alternative to drug and alcohol rehabilitation that allows you to recover in the privacy of your own home with an individualized program that meets your specific needs? Concierge Detox LA can be that alternative. Headed by medical addiction specialist Dr. Damon Raskin and clinical psychologist Dr. Howard Gloss, Concierge Detox LA will design an individualized program to meet your recovery needs. For more information, contact Concierge Detox LA at 323-935-9712.
Welcome back to Engaging Minds with your host, Dr. Howard Gloss, licensed clinical psychologist.
I'm Dr. G, and we're back with Engaging Minds. We're focusing on teen and teen violence, and I've brought a panel of experts together, mostly from mental health, and one woman, Liz Kahn, from the Brady Campaign. And we're really trying to dig a little deeper to try to understand how we can deal with this issue and maybe shift a little bit of the psyche so people will actually start listening to each other. But before we do that, we have a caller. Before I bring my panel back on, and they can actually address the caller too. His name is Lou. He's from Los Angeles, and he has a question. His question is, what is the difference between a universal and standard background check? So that sounds like, Liz, it's something right up your alley.
Sure. So to my
Welcome, Lou, to the show.
Welcome, Lou.
Hi.
So I think when we're talking about universal background checks, right now, if you walk into a Walmart or Dick's Sporting Goods or wherever you're going to buy your gun, you know, in a typical store, you will go through a typical background check. When we're saying universal background checks, we're talking about making it mandatory to have a background check when you're buying a gun from a private seller, which is not necessarily right now. You could buy a gun from a private seller with no background check.
Could I make a comment on that, please?
Sure. Go ahead, Lou.
Okay. Number one, I've been a gun owner for years and years. I'm in my 60s. And I have done private sales, just like you're talking about. And I live in California. And every single private sale that I've ever done, I had to go through an FFL dealer. And I had to, and they did a background check. Mm-hmm. And I had to wait 10 days before I can pick up the gun. Now, the only difference, which is under the NICS program, NICS, the difference between one state to another is some states do it instantly, and you can get the gun on the same day. In California, it's 10-day wait. Some have 5 days, 3 days, no days, but you still have to go through a background check. So anytime you do a private party transfer anywhere in the United States, you have to go through an FFL dealer legally, and you have to, they do a background check. You have to do a 4473, which asks you a series of questions. And then after the background check is done, then the gun is surrendered. So I've never heard this thing where if it's a private, you don't have to do it. You have to do it every time through an FFL dealer.
Got it.
Because I've done it.
What about at gun shows, though?
Okay, at gun shows, it depends. Okay, at gun shows in California, every single sale has to go through an FFL dealer because we're talking about California. California happens to have one of the most restrictive gun laws in the union. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, if you go to other states that, I guess, you know, Nevada or Arizona, you can do a private, now there, you can do a transfer, let's say, to a friend, or that is what it
I'm just curious because I don't know much about this, Lou. Wait, is there a mental health check that's part of the universal check that we are talking about, Liz or Lou?
Yeah, well, let me just say this, just to finish.
Sure.
The answer. If you do a private party sale, you know, in other states and some other states, okay, and it's just a private person selling a gun to another private person, and they know that person if it's a friend or something, then at gun shows you don't necessarily have to do a background check, but I'm going to say 90% or more of private party transfers have to be done through an FFL dealer. And every time it's done, a background check has to be done before the gun is surrendered. And I've also heard that you can buy guns through the Internet. That is totally bogus because I've sold guns through Internet. And the way that it does is that I have to take, the gun to an FFL dealer. And then the FFL dealer has to send it to another FFL dealer, you know, where the buyer is. And then the buyer has to go through an FFL background check. And then if they come back good, then the gun is surrendered. So I've never heard of anybody buying anything, you know, off of the Internet without going through an FFL dealer.
Well, thank you for clarifying that, Lou. I think what we're also saying is that maybe in addition to that, it would be nice to have some stricter laws.
Yeah, but I think just to go back to your point,
sure.
You did say that in certain states and at certain gun shows, you didn't actually have to go through a background check, as well as when you're selling to friends, you don't have to. So I think those are some pretty, open loopholes that dangerous people could get their hands on guns in those ways.
Right. But let me just make a point. If you look at all these shooters in the last, 10, 15 years, there isn't one. I mean, it's so minimal, these transfers that are done, this loophole that they call. And not one of these shooters has bought a rifle or a handgun through that loophole. Most all of them buy it.
Yeah. Well, Lou, listen, I want to thank you for coming on the show. One of the things I want to say is that it only takes one, and I still want to advocate that we need to have stronger gun laws to be able to protect us with that. So, with that, let's get back to something for a moment with the time that we have about the psyche. Because we're always preaching to the choir. Any ideas from my panel about how we can shift the psyche, and maybe come up with some solutions like we were talking about. And we have 4 minutes to come up with the solutions. So, Dr. Goulston, any ideas of how do you create that shift?
Well, I'm a part of the generation that probably influenced stopping the Vietnam War. So the key is, I think if you can sustain a commitment, and the millennials care enough about this, and high schools care enough to sustain it, they can maybe turn the tide, because we did that in Vietnam. The key is keeping that going, and I think that's the best chance. Otherwise, it's going to fade away.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, Mark, before we get off of you, if people wanted to find out more about your work or how to get in touch with you, how could they do so?
You can reach me at Twitter, at Mark Goulston, MarkGoulston, and check the top tweet. It's got about 370,000 impressions about asking people if they've known people have committed suicide. So I'm creating a thread there. People are just sharing all the people they've known who've committed suicide. It's quite chilling, but it's very comforting if that ever goes through your mind.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that. And Mary, your thoughts about how we're going to change the world and this concept in the next 3 minutes?
Well, the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health indicated that family connectedness and school connectedness had a direct protective effect in terms of risk for violence involvement. So I would say it's really, really important that all of us make an effort to keep kids connected to us.
And Mary, if people wanted to get in touch with you and find out more about your work and your books, how could they do so?
They can go to marylamia.com, MarylamiA.com.
Well, thank you very much. And Elaine, your thoughts on this?
Well, I think we have a long way to go. However, the fact that we're talking, I think, is a really good starting point here. And hopefully something will come out of this that will be better for all of us, children, families, and the world, and our country. I also feel that parenting is vital, that values, family values are vital, and that we really have to keep the family speaking together, living together, stop all the texting, have a day off, have an hour or two where nobody texts in the house, but they actually have to talk to one another and communicate with one another so that families have that opportunity for communication and relating.
And, Elaine, if people want you to get in touch with you, how could they do so?
They can reach me at my email address would be Dr. Elaine, that's DrElaine, at askdrelaine.com. That's askdrelaine.com.
And Liz, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it's really important to support the young people that are speaking out, and I think there is a real potential for this to be a lasting shift, especially because these are future or even current voters. And I think, just in terms of the gun laws, I think the most important steps we can take are, as I said, universal background checks to cover all loopholes so that dangerous and mentally ill people cannot access guns.
And Liz, if people wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do so?
Yep. Well, you can go to the bradycampaign.org and find your local chapter and get involved. And that would be the best way to help with all of the tragedies that we're facing.
So we're about to end, but what I want our audience to hear more than anything, what our panel of experts is saying, that it's so important to get connected to your kids, make sure your kids aren't isolating, that they have good role models, that you're talking to your kids and not just talking to them through text, and that we continue this debate and we speak out and we encourage young people to move forward, like the young people that are moving forward right now from Parkland. I'm Dr. G. We'll be back next week. If you want to email me, it's drhowardgluss@live.com. If you want to reach any of our panel, you could do so through me also. Have a good evening.
This show furnished by Key Light Counseling Center.